Fakatalo fatu ulufale mai for RNZ Pacific News. I'm Emma Miley. Vanuatu police have requested the assistance of Australian Federal Police to find out if the burning down of a traditional meeting house or Nakamau was arson. Commissioner Robson Yaro said their forensics counterparts from Australia will assist the Vanuatu Police Force to find the cause of the blaze at the Mauvatu Mori Nakamau in Port Vila. RNZ Pacific correspondent Elia Boulay says the cost of the Nakamau was more than 100 million vatu, about $850,000, and was co-financed by Vanuatu and Australian governments. Due to the damage caused by the fire, all business activities at the Māori headquarters premises, such as cover bars, have been put on hold until further notice. Although Kiribati has now confirmed its intention to rejoin the Pacific Islands Forum, a New Zealand defence and security expert says there is still a lot of work to do to fully mend regional unity. A statement from Kiribati President Taneti Mamau confirming his intention to rejoin the forum came after he hosted the forum chair and Prime Minister of Fiji, Sitiveni Rambuka, in Tarawa earlier this month. But a senior lecturer at Massey University's Centre for Defence and Security Studies, Anna Poles, says it's only a first step.
A number of the decisions that need to be made under the Suva Agreement will need to be made amongst the Micronesian countries themselves. For instance, where the sub-regional office is going to be located. Initially, was signaled that it would be in RMI. However, there are indications that Kiribati may be seeking to locate it there.
Flooding in Auckland has affected many Pacifica residents. Torrential rainfalls over the weekend caused flooding in streets and many homes. Mangere resident Luisa Opetaia said on Tuesday she was evacuating her home. She says the flooding occurred on Friday night, with water swamping her house within the space of an hour.
I took a nap about 7:30 p.m. and I woke up at 8:30 p.m. and when I got off my bed, I splashed into the water on the ground, so it was already up to halfway up my calf, almost to my knee, and the whole so three rooms in my house were flooded.
Auckland's been drenched once more this morning, causing flooding in parts of the city. Roads are seriously affected in places. While downpours from early this morning have eased, people are being warned to take care if they are on the roads. Fire and emergency has been responding to calls relating to the burst of rain after a quiet night. County's Manukau District Manager Brad Mosby says there has been one person needing rescue just before 7 a.m. local time. A political professor says most claims of the new Fiji government breaching the constitution are nonsense. Victoria University of Wellington professor is comparative politics John Frank Cow says the former Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama and the former Attorney General have made all sorts of allegations. He says claims that asking people to resign is unconstitutional are wrong. It is only unconstitutional to force people to resign.
And there are constitutional processes which are being gone through in the case of the police commissioner and several others. Asking the police commissioner to step down, which is suspended at the moment, is almost inevitable because the police force has brought in many of the current ministers for questioning over recent months in ways that were clearly very partisan.
John Funkow says the police's questioning of ministers was very much orientated towards trying to advantage Fiji First and disadvantage the then opposition. The New Zealand Prime Minister is promising to shake up the government's current programs in order to free up money to ease the cost of living. Chris Hipkins has reshuffled his cabinet, promoting Michael Wood, Jan Tinetti and Dr. Yaiz Verrill. Andrew Little and Anaya Mahuta have been demoted. Dr. Verrill taking over health while Kieran McAnulty picks up local government. Mr. Hipkins says the reshuffle is just the start and people can expect to see more changes soon.
Over the coming days and weeks, you'll see us put our words into action with policies to support New Zealanders by reprioritising existing programs so that we can free up resources to help with issues such as the cost of living.
Chris Hipkins says the government has heard loud and clear that people are struggling and will be focused on the cost of living. In world news, the death toll in Pakistan has risen to 100 from a mosque suicide bombing, which targeted police officers in the city of Peshawar. The mosque is within a high security zone, and an investigation is underway into how the bomber got in. The attack was one of Pakistan's bloodiest in years and has left many more people injured. A Pakistani Taliban claim to have carried out the bombing was later denied by the militant group, which blamed it on a splinter faction. In sport, the World Surf League Championship Tour could start at any day now on Hawaii's North Shore as organisers wait for the right conditions to run the first heat. The world's best men and women surfers will compete in the Billabong Pro Pipeline event. Caleb Fotheringham has more.
It will be only the second time a full-length women's championship tour event will be held at Pipeline, which is regarded as one of the most dangerous waves on the planet. Hawaiian surfers Moana Jones-Wong and Carissa Moore are both favourites for the women's competition. The greatest surfer of all time and North Shore resident Kelly Slater will look to follow his victory with another win. Now 50, Mr. Slater won last year's event almost 30 years after his first victory at Pipeline.
New Zealand Rugby Chief Executive Mark Robertson says rugby is evolving and stereotypes of the past are changing. After Campbell, Johnstone became the first All Black to come out as gay. The 43-year-old former Crusaders prop played three tests in 2005. Robertson, a former teammate of Johnstone, hopes the revelation sends a signal that the sport is a place where all people feel welcome.
It shines a bit of light on the fact that it is okay for as many people, a wide variety of participants as we can possibly have in the game to be, you know, sharing insights about themselves. So, you know, that maybe hasn't been always the case or hasn't always been the perception of the sport that it is open and inclusive, but this is certainly a story that sends that signal really strongly.
Ross Gillespie, the coach of New Zealand's gold medal winning hockey team at the 1976 Montreal Olympics, has died. He was 87. And that's your Pacific News and Sports. For more of our headlines and stories, go to rnzi.com.